Okay, let's begin. Everybody said this is Parsha Tetzaveh, Parsha Zohar. Okay, it's a big Parsha. A lot of people come to shul this week. The weather already is spring-like. And it's Shabbos Zohar, Parsha Zohar. So we're Parsha Tetzaveh, we're moving ahead in the year. Parsha Tetzaveh is the only Parsha since the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe's name is not mentioned. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu absent from Parshas Tetzaveh? So we all know the answer. Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Kisisa, if you're not going to forgive Klal Yisrael, Mocheini na misifrecha asher kosofta, erase me from the Sefer which you have written. I don't want to be part of the Chumash Rashi. So Kilas Shalom Aleichem is to ask the Lord, welcome back. Not seeing you in 4 weeks. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. And a great grandson.
What's the kid's name?
His name is Avraham Yair.
Avraham Yair.
Avraham Yair for sure.
Okay, Mazel Tov. Welcome back. So as Rabbi said, Moshe Rabbeinu, from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was born until the end of the Torah, Moshe appears in every single parasha with the exception of Parashas Tetzaveh. Because he said to Hashem, Mocheini no misifcha asher kosofta, Chazal tell us that Kilas Chacham afilu al Tanai Niskayin. In the bottle, I think the Baal HaTunim actually quotes this. Okay, he really gives another reason. He gives another reason. The first reason he gives is because the Kila Asachim Afil Al Tanai Eba Niskayin Bezeh. And then he gives another reason. The Oy the Zua Parsha Medaberes B'Tachsisei Kehuna Mimoisha Hoysa HaKehuna HaGedolah Lotzeis Umimoisha Hoysa. It was meant to be another time, which really is more, I think it's really more appealing to me at least, is the reason why Moshe is not mentioned in this week's parasha is because Moshe was very upset. Moshe wrote the Torah, he was very upset because Moshe was meant to be the Kohen Gadol. And because Moshe refused, he stubbornly refused to listen to Hashem when Hashem told him by the burning bush, I want you to take the lead, I want you to go. So Moshe was punished. And the kahuna was transferred from him to his brother Aaron. And because Moshe, he saw the big day kahuna, he saw what it all means and what he lost out on. When you look back in life and you realize what you lost out on, it eats you up. It eats you alive. It brings enormous agmas nefesh. And that's why Moshe's name is not mentioned. L'chein lo niska shmo shel Moshe parzo b'nei agmas nafshoi. Unbelievable. Okay. That's why. Excellent. You took the words out of my mouth. Okay. So what you're saying is that you're saying a drush. The Baal HaTunim tells us pshat. Tells us two very important. You say this. Now. Let's talk drush. Have Simcha Soloveitchik yesterday in the koil around the corner. I go down mincha. He has a koil there, so sometimes I talk to him learning. He tells me some verloch, so he told me, why is Moshe not mentioned in this parashah exactly what Mr. Plotnik said? I think what you're trying to allude to is because Moshe in his humility did not want to take away from the limelight of Aaron. Parashas Tetzaveh is the parash of Aaron HaKoyen. It's about the big day kahuna. It's about the Shmoyne Begadim. It's Aaron's parasha. Aaron lights the menorah. Aaron, he wears the big day kahuna, the choshen, the ephod, the me'il, the ksoinis, the avnate, and the tzitz. So Moshe, in his humility, he did not want to take away the spotlight of Aaron HaKoyen. Aaron HaKoyen, it's his parasha. Now, I want to elaborate upon that. Here's the question I want, a general question. Why do we need Aaron HaKoyen? Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to go and take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Moshe says, no, I don't want to go, give it to Aaron. But at the end of the day, Moshe does accept it. Moshe indeed does accept the mission. Moshe takes Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he brings them to Har Sinai, he takes them to the edge, to the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. So, but Hashem says, listen, Aaron Achicha Yehiyah Neviyacha. He will be your prophet, or as the Mefarshim, it means Nivyacha Nivsif Osayim. He will be your spokesman. He will represent you. Why? Why do we need Aaron and Achanan? He's the Kohen Gadol. I mean, there was Yoshua. There are many Ishei HaTanach. One is not related with the other. Aaron was needed. Aaron, there was a Lozor, a Yisamar. They weren't Moshe's spokesman. Yeshua wasn't Moshe's leader. Many Ishaya Tanach. Someone had to be the Kohen Gadol. If Hashem wants to punish Moshe, you're not going to be the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so far I'm not going to be the Kohen Gadol. But why was it necessary in Yitzias Mitzrayim who Moshe the Aaron? There had to be both. Had to be Moshe, had to be Aaron. Why couldn't it just be Moshe alone? What is Aaron bringing to the table that is lacking in Moshe Rabbeinu?
His personality,
his peace, making. Oyev Shalom v'roydev Shalom. So he'll be a personality.
Moshe didn't have that same quality.
But that's what's not necessary for the leadership. There will always be people that will fill in.
He was Rasa Avoda.
What? So in Achnami, he'll be the Kohen Gadol. I'm really, it's not really related to this parasha. The reason I'm mentioning this is because this week's parasha is the parasha of Aaron. Is Aaron? Who is Aaron? Well, he's the Kohen Gadol. He's a very good Oyev Shalom v'Roydev Shalom. But he had another job, and the job was Hu Yihyeh Nevi Acha. Why was it necessary for Aaron to be Nevi Acha? Why? Good. Aaron was Oyev Shalom v'Roydev Shalom. You have a school, a modern day school. There's a problem with the children. No, you send them to the psychologist. We have an in-house team of psychologists.
What if he was there first on the scene all those years in the tribe?
So what? Hashem said to Moshe, he's not the man. His resume is very good, but he's not the right man for the job.
Hashem said he'll greet you happily.
Fine. So very, he'll accept you. But Hashem gave Aaron a mission. A mission that was equal to Moshe in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hu Yihyeh Nevi'acha. He was Moichel him. He was Belev Sholem. He gave over. Even though Aaron had a better resume, he left Moshe. He was the in-house psychologist. He was the Kohen Gadol. But the Pasuk makes it very, very clear that when Moshe goes to Paro and he says to Paro, Shlach Ami, Aaron is standing at his side and is either translating or is communicating. They're together. The mission of Yitzias Mitzrayim involved two people. Moshe the Aaron. Who? Moshe the Aaron. Chazal make it very clear. Shkulim Hoyu. They were equal in the mission of Yitzias Mitzrayim. He can be a very good person now. He can have many functions. There were many Ishaya Tanach. There was a Pinchas. There was a Lozer. There was Yisamar. There was Yoshua. And the list goes on and on. Everyone has their role. Moshe can't do everything by himself. Moshe himself said, Lo ucho levadi. I can't do this by myself. I need help. So he has help. But Moshe is in charge. No, he's not in charge. In Yitzias Mitzrayim, Aaron Yihyeh Nevi'ach. What is his role? So I want to say a drush. And show that drush into this parasha. What is the drush? The drush is Moshe Rabbeinu was a product of a new generation. Amram, the Golus reached a pinnacle. It reached a point where people suffered from complete despair, Yeush Muchlat, complete despair. Kol Abein Hayilod Hayoira Tashlichu. They tortured the Jewish people. They tortured them with Avodas Perach. They were slaves, labor camps, literally labor camps, concentration camps. They were killing the babies as they were born. So what did Amram say? It's over. Yadus was a nice experiment. Monotheism, it was good. It was good while it lasted. From the time of Avram Avinu until now, it's over. Everyone should follow my lead. Separate from your wife. And we will just gradually disappear. As Hashem's world, he'll do with it what he wants when it's over. Amram has a little girl by the name of Miriam. Miriam steps up to the plate and says, Father, you're even worse than Paro. Oof. Okay, quite a statement to say to her father, Gadol Hadar, Paro was Gezer Allah, only Allah Zachab, you Gezer Allah Zachab, the Kevos. It doesn't just mean she gave him a Shtigl Musa, she completely changed his frame of mind. She totally showed him that she was mechazik him. Okay, she changed his whole outlook on life, and he collected himself, and he took back Yocheved. They got married. The whole clan Yisrael followed in his example. And who was born? Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Moshe Rabbeinu was generation, I don't know what to call it, you know, we have the older generation, say the hippie generation, and we have this generation, Generation X, baby boomers, I don't know what you want to call them, but whatever you want to call them, he was a product of a new generation. Newcomer, new generation. He wasn't from the old school. He was from the new school. New school. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. What happens to Moshe Rabbeinu? He grows up, we learned yesterday from the Medrash, I think it's a Yalkut Shvan, he was 18 years old, he was a fugitive. He was a wanted man. He was number one on Egypt's 10 most wanted list. Number one. $1 million reward for Moshe Rabbeinu, dead or alive. So what does he do, Moshe Rabbeinu? He runs away. He doesn't come back until he's 80 years old. He comes back when he's 80 years old and he tells Klal Yisrael, Pakoid Pakadati, I'm your redeemer, let's get to work. We're getting out of here. You look at him. Who are you? Who do you think you are? You are a product. You haven't been here. You haven't been here all these years. And number two, you're a product of a new generation. You were the one that was born because of Miriam. Miriam represented the new generation. You don't identify with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael as a Messiah. Aaron, on the other hand, was the old school. Aaron was 5 years older than Moshe. Aaron was born to Amram. Three years older than Moshe. He was born in the old generation, in the old school, before Amram separated and took back Yocheved. Aaron represented the old school, the old generation. Amram also didn't leave. Amram was Aaron. Aaron was there all along. He never left. So here's the issue. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes on the scene, Moshe is coming with new ideas, innovations. We can rebel, we can argue, we can have chutzpah against Paro, we can do this, we can do that. Chodosh Osir Menatoira Bechol Mokam. The Chassam Sofer. Everyone knows the Chassam Sofer. Innovations in Yadus is Osir. Chodosh is an expression, okay? Chodosh, it's from the Halacha. Chodosh Osir Menatoira Bechol Mokam. Who are you to go and be Mechadesh, a new Hashkafa, a new Derech, in Avodas Hashem? So Moshe says, well, I'm legit. Hashem has told me to do this. Who says? Aaron of Achicha Yihyeh Nevi'acha was necessary to tell the people, it's right, Moshe, my brother, is a product of the new generation. I'm a product of the old generation. Of the Mesorah going directly back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I have no break. I am a product of Yocheved. Yocheved was born ben Achoymos, which came down, I go straight back to the source. And you know, I'm not capable of these new ideas, I'm just not capable of these, of coming up with this approach, what Moshe is going to do. But Moshe is suspect, because Jews, Baruch Hashem, it's our nature to be suspicious of anyone that comes to be Mechadish. We're in Egypt, you're trying to redeem us. You're trying to take us out of Egypt. Who says Hashem wants us to be redeemed? Who says that this derech of rebellion, of going against the Malchus and this and that, maybe this is our destiny. We should just remain here as slaves to Paro. Who says this is what Hashem wants from us? That this, what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing, this aggressive... This aggressive approach. It's an aggressive approach. An aggressive approach to leave Egypt at this point in time. This is a product of a new generation, which is not true to the traditions of Yisrael Sab, of Klal Yisrael. You need Aaron. Aaron is a partner with Moshe Rabbeinu because Aaron was part of the old school. And Aaron is showing Klal Yisrael, that's right, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right, he was born his birth is symbolic. His birth is symbolic of a new tkufa, which always brings the nesoyon of Chodosh Osa Minat Torah, and which is really legit. It is taka true. Chodosh Osa Minat Torah B'chol Mokom. You just have to show that it's not Chodosh. It's Yoshan. You need someone from the old school channel. to service that channel to the people to say correct. What he's doing is indeed true to the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. This is the necessity of Aaron. This is the uniqueness of Aaron. Aaron is the real Mesorah. Moshe is a break of Mesorah. You can't say not. You can't say maybe because Moshe was not around for how many years? From 18 years old until 80 years old. And Moshe's being Mechadesh new approach. And Moshe, symbolically, his birth is a birth that took place in a new tkufa. There was Yeush. Complete Yeush. And Miriam is a little girl. She comes along as Mechadesh new chidushim. Aaron is the one that can say, yes, what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing, it may seem that it's chodosh, but it's not. It's really Yoshon Noishon. Now look in this parasha. This next parasha, what is Aaron? What is his Aaron's the role of Aaron? The lighting of the menorah. What is the menorah? Torah. What else is the menorah? What else is Torah in the Mishkan? The Orin. There are two kelim in the Mishkan in the base Hamigdash, which represents Torah. The Orin and the menorah. What goes in the Orin? The Luchos. Who lights the menorah? Aaron. Who brought the Luchos? Who's the one who brought down the Luchos ben Hashemayim? Moshe. So Moshe has the connection to the Aron. The other utensil that represents Torah, who has the connection to that? Who has the connection?
Aron.
So what's the significance? That's the whole parsha. The whole first parsha over here is V'yata Tetzavichu Lech Hashem and Zayizok Koslam Ar. And Aron is the one that's going to do this. Yarech Oisoy Aron Uvanov Me Erev Ad Boker Lefnei Hashem Chukas Oilom Lidoy Roisam Me Eis Bnei Yisrael. What's going on? What's the chilik between the Aron and the menorah? What do Chazal say? The Aron represents Torah Shebichsav, and the menorah represents Torah Shebal Peh. What is Torah Shebal Peh all about? What is the symbolism of Torah Shebal Peh? The Mesorah. Tradition. Torah Shebichsav is Torah Shebichsav doesn't change. Whatever it says in the book, it says in the book. It doesn't make a difference. You can put the book in the library and come back in 1,000 years. It's going to be the same Torah Shebichsav. It's not going to change. Torah Shebal Peh represents transmission. It's alive. Since it's only Baal Peh, if you don't pass it down from one generation to the next generation, it's gone. It represents Mesorah. Moshe Rabbeinu is a newcomer. He really is. He disappeared. He comes on the scene. He brings the Luchos. He puts it in the box. Torah, the Torah HaKadosha. Aaron never left. He was there with them all along from day one. And Aaron was also born in the old school before the shakeup happened. Before the whole shakeup, he was old school. Aaron is the direct link to the Mesorah. It's true. Every tkuf and klal Yisrael, you find young people come up with innovations which can change klal Yisrael for the better. But it's suspect. It's really suspect. Chodosh asa menatar b'chol makayim. You need to pass the test. You need to be sniffed out by the Zakenim, those that are the guardians of the Mesorah, to determine if the new, fresh ideas that only come with youth, the old Zakenim can't come up with these ideas to transform Klal Yisrael. You need the Zakenim of the previous generations to go, who have the Mesorah, to determine if indeed the innovations of the new generation is Lefi the Mesorah. This is Aaron. Aaron is Torah Sheb, because what is Torah Sheb Al Peh? Mesorah. Moshe is Torah. Moshe is the Lokam Ki Moshe, is the Av HaNevi'im. Moshe represents Chidush. It's Chidush. But the Chidush demands a partner, a Shutif, checks and balances. There are checks and balances in Yadus. It demands an Aaron. This week's parsha is the parsha of Aaron. It's the parsha of the Mesorah. It's the parsha of the Mesorah. We had Yisro. We had Yisro. We had Mishpatim. Mishpatim also talks about Matan Torah. We had a lot about Moshe. Moshe is the innovator. But this week's parsha of the Torah is the innovator of Chidush, of creativity, ideas to go forward. Every generation has its unique challenges, which requires a new, fresh approach, but it has to be all within the framework of the Mesorah, and for that, you need Aaron. Aaron is the highlight of this week's parasha. Look, it's Purim. What is Purim all about? It was the first time a miracle happened in Golus. Golus, we were in a very vulnerable matzav. Beis Mishra was destroyed. We're living in Golus. What's going to be? Never happened before. We take it for granted. We're living in Golus 2,000 years. So big deal. Another year of Golus. This was the first Golus of Klal Yisrael. It was a real question. Could they possibly survive? The whole episode of Purim showed, no, there is a Messiah. Klal Yisrael, v'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Torah perseveres. It continues from generation to generation. It's Aaron. Aaron is the parish and parasha of the Messiah. Okay, let's leave it with that. Let's go to another idea. Absolutely, that's what the pasuk says. It's Aaron's parasha. To appreciate the balance between the checks and balances between Moshe, Aaron, the menorah, how they all come together and how both are necessary. You need fresh, young blood, a new perspective to think outside the box, but you have to balance it with Aaron. The innovators are the Moshe Rabbeinus. The guardians of the Messiah are the Aarons. They have to guarantee, they have to work together in order to bring Klal Yisrael forward to greet Mekabel the Pnei HaMashiach. Okay, let's go to another idea. We learned about the menorah. Now, there's a very fascinating Rashbam. This Rashbam, I remember when I learned it a little while ago, it really shook me up. It really changed everything for me, this Rashbam. It's in Parashas Mahaloscha. Parashas Mahaloscha says that El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Yeiru Shivas HaNeiros. So it's Parashas Mahaloscha. How do you light the menorah? How do you serve the menorah? El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, towards the Pnei HaMenorah Yeiru, you shall kindle Es Shivas HaNeiros, the seven candles. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, El Mul, all of, he says, have you seen all the picture books? All of the six neros shall be pointed, either tilted or whatever it means, shall be aimed, geared towards the center. The Pnei Hamra means the central shaft, the central branch, and the six neros on the side all come towards the center. That's what Rashi clearly says in Parash Mahalayis, that's what the Pasig means. And everyone jumps on Rashi. There's a great difficulty with Rashi. Because according to Rashi, it should say, El Mul Pnei HaNeiros Yeiru Sheshes HaNeiros. Not Shivas, not seven. There are only six, because the one in the center is in the center. So what's that one doing? That's a very big problem. That's a very good, very powerful question on Rashi. How can Rashi say it means this? Because then why seven? Only six. There are seven neiros, but the one in the center is where all the action is, and all the other six point towards the center. So the Rashbam says another pshat. And Rashbam says changes everything you ever learned about the menorah. At least for me. Every time I look at the menorah, it's a whole new menorah. Rashbam says, El mol pnei ha-menorah yeiru shavas ha-neiros. It means, where was the menorah positioned? It was the last six parashah. Where was it positioned? On the southern side. Where was the lechem haparim shulchan positioned? On the northern side. Opposite. Directly opposite the menorah. Why was there a menorah? Does Hashem need light? Chazal say Hashem doesn't need the light. Hashem's not interested. So what's the purpose of the menorah? Why is there a menorah in the Mishkan? So the Rashbam says the purpose of the menorah is to shed light, to illuminate the shulchan, to illuminate the lechem aponim. That's the purpose of the menorah. The Rashbam, in Parash Palais, a little teeny Rashbam, a few words. El mol pnei ha-menorah yoiru shivas ha-neiros. Opposite, we're assuming that the menorah is arranged, I don't know, you want to say from, you can picture your mind if you know the dimensions, from west to east, or from east to west, it's arranged, and there are seven neiros, and they're casting their light opposite to the shulchan. Because the shulchan, there's bread, there are 12 loaves of bread on the shulchan, there's no hana in eating food if you can't see what it looks like. We all know that's one of the reasons why we light candles Friday night is shalom bayis, is you should see what you're eating. So you have to have illumination. There are seven neiros illuminating the 12 breads. That's the Rashbam. It's the purpose of the menorah is nothing other than to illuminate the Shulchan Lechem Apanim. Okay, now let's go to what exactly does the Shulchan represent? So if it wasn't Erev Purim, I would say, make believe it's not an Erev Purim, I would say, well, the Shulchan is Parnassah. Parnassah, right? Parnassah. What does the menorah represent? Torah. It's telling you when you go out to make a Parnassah, don't disconnect the two. Some people have the attitude, the Torah stays in the Beis Medrash. The marketplace is a whole different world. There, you got to keep up with the Joneses. If they cheat, if they steal, they are deceitful, they are immoral, and they are unethical. That's the rules. Ish esrei eyu chayim bilaho. There's a disconnect. You daven, you put your tefillin on the shelf, you put your yarmulke on the shelf, and you walk out into the street, and you do what you need to do to survive. Whatever is acceptable in society, that's the way the goyim do it, that's how I'm going to do it, hope for the best. That is kfirah. That is mamish keneged kol Torah kula. There's no excuse. The Torah does not stay in the Beis Medrash. Torah, when you walk out of the Beis Medrash, you take the Torah with you to work. And therefore, just because everyone else is stealing and cheating doesn't give you a right to steal and cheat. Just because people are unethical and they're able to cut corners, that does not give you a right. The Torah comes with you into your Parnassah. And therefore, that's exactly what the Torah says. El mul pnei ha-menorah ye'iru shivas haneros. Make sure the bread you put in your mouth was illuminated with the aura of Torah. The menorah is the aura of Torah will illuminate your eyes what kind of bread you should eat. Make sure the bread that you eat was earned honestly, ethically, morally. No make-believe. Don't go put a wall. No, there's no mechitza, Rabbi Sai, in the Hechel. There may be a mechitza in shul, but there's no mechitza between the shulchan and the menorah. Kedis taruvis. They go together. They go together. They don't do it. That's what I would say if it wasn't Erev Purim. But being that it's Erev Purim, there's another mahalach along the same lines. What do Chazal say the Shulchan represents? It represents the miracle of Purim. Why? Now this goes back to Parashas Emor. In Parashas Emor, this is where you find all the Torah. In Parashas Emor, we go through all the Moadim. We start off with Pesach. And then we go to Shavuos. And then we go to Rosh Hashanah. And then we go to Yom Kippur. And then we go to Sukkot. And then we come to Shmini Atzeres. And then what happens? What's the next thing? Then we start Parashas. Then right after Emor, in Parashas Emor itself, it says the menorah again. What is the menorah doing at the end of Parshas Emor? What's it doing over there? Because the menorah alludes to it's Ruach HaKodesh Torah, the future Chanukah miracle, and right after the menorah, it speaks about the Shulchan, and what is the Shulchan doing there? The Shulchan is Purim. Page 358, Kedoshim, Emor, thank you very much. Go through all of the Moadim. Okay, Usfarat Yechamach Shabbos. Okay, we come to Yom Kippur. I'm running ahead over here. Sukkis. And then we finally finish Leman Yeidu. Doi Roy Sechem Kiva Sukkos. Hashavti Yisrael Yisrael Yitzi Esom Eretz Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Vayidah Dari Moshel. Mosmode Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. Vayidaber Hashem Shalemar Tzaves Meshal Yuchalacha Shemen Zayizach. My high, we have already parsed the Tzave, and we have parsed Bahaloyitzcha in Bamidbar. So what do we need? What in the world? Nochamal, the menorah in the middle of nowhere, middle of Ayikra. What is the menorah doing in the middle of Ayikra? Parsed Emor, the Moadim. We do Moadim. We finished. What's the next festival? It's not Thanksgiving. Maybe you'll find the Remez somewhere, Thanksgiving over here. Okay, contrary to common belief, President's Day, Martin Luther King Day, you'll find some, all the Jewish festivals, you'll find it somewhere in Merumiz, but the next real festival is Hanukkah, V'yikhu Eilecha Shemen Zayizach. Okay, we finish Al HaMenorah HaTehoira, Ya'aruch Es HaNeiros Lefnei Hashem Tomid. Next, V'lokachta Soiles, V'yafi So'oisa, Shteim esrei chalois. Shnei esronim yachal v'achos. V'samto esam shtayim arochos shesh hamarochos. Al ha-shulchan ha-tohor lefnei Hashem. V'nasat al hamareches. Levoino zako. Okay, ketores. Levoino. V'hoiso lalechem le'as koro ishel Hashem. Shnei bazichei levoino. What does it produce? Fragrance. Like Mordechai. Fragrance. It produces Mordor, Esther, Hadassah, Hadassin. What is Esther's Hadassah, Hadassin? The whole meaning of Purim is all about fragrance. Mordechai is Mordechai Menat Harminayin. Mordor, the Ketores. Esther is Hadassah. Hadassah is Hadassin. The whole meaning of Purim represents the Koyach of Reach Nichoyach. Satisfaction of Kodesh Baruch Hu, the satisfaction of Kodesh Baruch Hu with Klal Yishol, when they were mispala leich kenois es kol ha-yehudim, the tshuva, the avas anes. Okay, there's a different sugi, but there's no quite, we'll just leave it very vague. It's all about, it relates to the concept of a reach nichoyach Hashem of Ketores. How did this Purim story begin? What's the ABC of Purim? Why was the nigza, the whole Purim story should begin? Shenenu Misudas Achashverosh. It all began in the beginning of the Megillah, what he called the party, 180 days. Everyone should come, and everyone should celebrate the destruction, the end of the Jewish people. Because it's been 70 years, according to his calculation, and the Gula has not come, nothing is doing. And therefore, let's make a big, big party that the Nevuah of Yirmiyah has not come true, and the Jews are going to be an afterthought. Somewhere in some encyclopedia footnote covered with what?
A footnote of history.
And he comes, makes Litzanis HaChashverosh. He puts on the big day kuhuna. He puts on the big day Kohen Gadol. Feresh and Chazal. L'chavar l'sivaris. He wore a big day Kohen Gadol. Litzanis. The Jewish people, and they took out the Kelim Beis HaMidosh. They were serving, they were pouring wine in the Kelim Beis HaMidosh to celebrate the Sudas HaChashverosh. And who came? Who came to celebrate? The Jews. Who else? Who came to celebrate? The Jews came to celebrate. They celebrated their own destruction. So Hashem was not very happy, to say the least. Shenenen Yisudas Achash. What's the Ikasuda? The bread. The Lechem. The Lechem is the Suda. What happened? The story of Purim began to unfold. And we were successful. And the success came to Mordechai v'Esther, which represent the Shnei Bazichei Levoina. The Shnei Bazichei Levoina. Okay, the 12 breads of the 12 members, the 12 tribes of Klal Yisrael, the Gans Klal Yisrael, they were food for fodder. They were food. And we ate our own destruction. And the Shnei Bazichei Levoina is Mordechai v'Esther, which represent the fragrance. They produced the Nachas, Shirch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was an Azkora. It served in an Azkora. A remembrance for Klal Yisrael, the 12 breads, for the chait of what we have done, binenem, misusach, hashverosh, and everything turned around. And then when we celebrate, how do we celebrate? With food. We celebrate with food. We have a su'udas purim, and we give each other mishloach manos ish l're'eyu. Why do you give mishloach manos according to many of the mefarshim? We didn't learn the halachos yet. In order that you should have food for the su'uda. Chazal was so concerned. No one should skip the Suda. To make sure you have what to eat, we're going to institute everyone should give Mishloach Manos Ish to Re'eyu to guarantee you'll have what to eat. So this is not my Torah. I'm just repeating off of how everyone says this Torah. Parshas Emor is the Moadim. Then comes Chanukah. Then comes Purim. Purim is the Shulchan. And they go weiter, you can pour them, it's divided two ma'arochas, they want to connect also to Lag Ba'omer, plag, the simon, you divide the two parts. Okay, there's a lot of Torah on this, but the point over here is we said already enough ideas. Besamim, and the Suda, Minenem, Mishra HaShverosh, and the way we celebrate Purim is by eating Mishrach Manos. The Shulchan is Purim. Now, let's go back to the Rashbam. What's the menorah? The menorah is to illuminate the Shulchan. What does that mean? Let's go back to this parasha. Parasha begins, V'yata tetzaves v'neisho v'yikhu eilecha shemen zayis zoch. Kosis lamo'ar. Chazal darshan, Chazal explain that when it comes to the menorah, the requirement of virgin olive oil, real virgin olive oil, not the make-believe virgin olive oil, must be met. That the first tipa, the first drop, no pisoilas. It must be perfectly pure. Why? Well, I'm assuming why is when you have illumination, you know, there are different types of lights. There's the LED, incandescent, fluorescent. It has to be the best. The illumination that the menorah is going to provide must be crystal, crystal clear. No room for error, no clouding. If there is pisoilas, some sediment in the oil, the illumination will not be 100%. It's going to be deficient. Has to be crystal, crystal clear. And what is this illumination going to provide? It's going to provide to cast light on the bread. What is this deeper meaning? What is Purim all about when the day is over? There are no miracles. There are no miracles. There are no openly blamed. Okay, I know in the Midrashim you'll find any miracles, but simple. It was a sequence of events. Sequence of events that was perfectly arranged, organized, to result in our salvation. And as things unfolded, we had no idea what was happening, but it was the clarity, when the miracle was over, revealed to us that Hashem was with us all along from day one. You need clarity to see that. If it's dark, you don't see it. A terrible thing happened. There's a party. Vashti was killed. Why was she killed? I don't know. She was killed. Esther was abducted. Why? I don't know. This story happened. Big son of the Seresh. You need clarity. Turn on the lights just a little bit, a dimmer, a little bit of light. Oh, now I understand maybe this. I understand this part of the puzzle, this part of the puzzle. Turn on the light a little bit more. Now I understand a little bit more. Turn on the lights all the way. Put the dimmer up 100%. Ah, now I see the whole picture. When you illuminate Purim, which represents acknowledging and seeing the Yad Hashem in Hester Panim, Hester Panim is dark. It's dark. You have to illuminate the darkness to see the Yad Hashem. You know, there are different levels of illumination. The Torah says, if the menorah is going to illuminate the Lechem HaPanim, which represents the story of Purim, which represents darkness, the Anoichi, Haster, Aster, Panai, Bayom Ahu, and we're now going to illuminate that darkness, I want you to see the full picture so you absorb the full scope of the miracle, and therefore it has to be Shemen Zayis, Kosis Lama'ar. No sediments. The ultimate clarity to see the Yad Hashem, the Hashkocha Pratis, how Hashem runs the world. This is the connection of Purim to Tetzaveh. Tetzaveh is Aaron HaKohen. He's lighting the Ato Tetzaveh in a regular year when it's not a leap year. Most of the time, it's all Yosef time, Parashat Zohar, not all the time, but most of the time when it's not a leap year, Parashat Tetzaveh is Parashat Zohar. It is the perfect Hakdama to Purim. We're coming now to a Yom Tov where we're focusing on ordinary events of the world, Haneg b'minig derecheretz, and yet to see the Yad Hashem, and the Hakdama is Shabbat Zohar, when we learn about the menorah. And the menorah, we learn something unique about the menorah, that it doesn't say elsewhere, is that the illumination that the menorah is going to provide must be pure. No sediments, the illumination must be 100%, because we need this menorah to cast its light on the Lechem HaPanim, which represents Purim, to bring out, to see the Hashkocha, the Yad Hashem in our lives. Purim is just a mashal for the whole year round. It's not just Purim only on Purim, it's Purim the whole year round. Everything that happens in this world is all the Hashkocha, the Yad Hashem. I'll give you another example of this idea. Tefillin. Okay, tefillin are black. Now, it's black. Why are they tefillin black? It's only a minhag. It's only because the only thing that has to really be black about tefillin are what? Are the ritzuos. But we have the minhag to make the tefillin black. Black represents darkness. Hester panim. The tefillin in the tefillin, on the outside of the tefillin, there's no Shem Hashem. Okay, the shin is part of the Shem Hashem. It's not even that simple. But the Hashem's name is hidden deep within. If you open up the box, it's a container. And not everyone knows this, is that you don't just put the parshios into the tefillin. Halacha l'moshe misinai demands that we take the parsha, we first wrap it up in parchment. If you're missing the parchment that wraps the parshios, it's all not possible. The parshios don't just go into the boxes. If you ever see them take out the parshios are very, very tightly wrapped, and then they wrap it with a piece of parchment. It's covered. And then it's inserted into the box. What
they wrap a gid around it, right?
They put it in a piece of pot and they wrap a gid around the parsha, and then they insert that into the. So, and what's in the parasha? The parashas have Hashem's name. There are 22 names of Hashem in each in the Tefillin Shel Yad, four total of 44. 44. What does that represent? It's doubly wrapped. The Anoichi, Hashem's name, Haster, Astir, Ponai, Bayoy Mahu. Tefillin represent Hester Ponai. It represents they're black, it's dark, the Ritzus at least are black, which represents darkness, Choshech, Hashem's name is doubly wrapped. It's Hester Ponim. V'yonochi, Haster Aster Ponai Bayoim Hahu. We, even though we don't see Hashem, we believe Hashem is there, even in the darkest of times. An Ovel on the first day doesn't wear tefillin. Because when the mace is Mutal Lefanov, you can't see Hashem. That is already too much to expect of a person. When a person goes through hard times, the Torah demands you have to see Hashem, and even in the Tzara. But when the mace is mutal lefanav for the first day, that's already you're making a request of a person which is beyond the average person in such a state of pain. To see mace mutal lefanav, you can't ask a person to put on his tefillin and to say, "Oh, do you see the Yad Hashem? You see the Yad Hashem in the tragedy?" It takes time. It takes years to be able to look back and to be able to say, "I have emuna." The Yad Hashem was there even in the eighth sara. But b'shas the eighth sara, there's no tefillin. What's on the outside of the tefillin? We have two shins: a shin on the left and a shin on the right. What are these shins? Why are there two shins? What are these shins? So most of us will say that this is the Shem Hashem Shakai Shin Medaliyah. That's Enochanami. MS. But there's another mahalach. Other than Farshim says that Rabbi Shur, I think Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Avraham Shur, from over here in his Yeshul, in Svarim, Alekach V'Halivov, he writes every so often that the two shins represent the menorah. This is a chazal. It's not just from him. How many branches are there on the two shins in total?
Seven.
Four on one side, three on the other. Why, when you put on, do you ever wonder why when you put on the tefillin? You say, Baruch, Shem, Kivoid, Malchuso, Liolam, and then you start saying these psukim. Umechachmascha, Kelelyoin, Tatsalai. Umebinascha, Tevinenu, Vechazcha, Tagdalai, Ubegroscha, Tatsmis, Oivai, Vekamai. Veshemen Hatoiv. This is Parsha. Torik, Por, Al Shiva, Kinei, Hamanoira. Lehashpia, Tuvichol, Livriosecha. Why in the world are you saying this pasuk when you finish putting on your tefillin shel rosh? What does this pasuk have anything to do with the tefillin shel rosh? I understand everything else. I understand. Umechach maschatz on my head, right? The Hashem tatzilolai, maybe noscha tivineni v'chazcha tagdolai. That's a little bit of a hard. With the v'roscha tatzmis oyva v'kamai. That's also a little bit schwer. Okay, maybe with the answer. All of a sudden, you're going off the deep end. Manish, going off the deep end. You put on the tefillin shel rosh, you're talking about the menorah. No, it's very relevant. Because on your tefillin shel rosh are the seven branches of the menorah. Whoever said it's a shin, a lot of people, you know, they make very fancy shins with they have technology, even to have the tagim. Years ago, technology did not exist. The old tefillin of our grandparents and great-grandparents did not have tagim on that shin. You look at your tefillin. If you have a new pair of tefillin today, you'll see that on the shin of your tefillin, it looks kamad, just like the shin of a Sefer Torah, ksav ashuris, as best that they can. They can't make a mamsh because it has to be in the middle, so it really can't be It can't be a real shin because it goes down the center, and a shin in Safos does not go down the center, it goes down straight down the left. So it's a little bit of a stretch anyway that it's a shin. And now they make it perfect, like Mamish with Tagim. These are very, very big chumers. And some are misnage to these chumers because whoever told you that thing on the top is a shin? We have a chazal that Taka says Shakai, Shin, Dal, then Yud. That's one approach. But others say that's not the Iker, that's a nice drush. The Iker is, it's just a symbolic symbol of whatever it means, 3 and 4. And others, and some explain, these are the 7 branches of the menorah. And the proof is in the pudding. Look at what we say in the Nusach HaTfilah. Now is the next question. Why in the world would you want to put the menorah on your tefillin? My inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. The answer is, what's the purpose of the menorah in the Mishkan, according to the Rashban? The purpose of the 7 branches is to cast their illumination on the Shulchan. The Shulchan represents the story of Purim. There was no period in the history of Klal Yisrael, even the Holocaust, arguably, where it was the matziv of Hester Panim. The Anochi Hastir Aster Panai Bayoim Ahu, as in the time of Purim. The Gezera was Lahashmid, Laharog, Ula Abed, Eskol HaYehudim, Minar, Vyadzokain, Taf Vinoshim, Biyoim Echod. Achashverosh controlled the whole world. Hitler, Yamach, Shemo, Vizichro did not control the whole world. It was a gezerah b'yoyim echad. There was no tekuf of hester panim like this period of time. The onochi haster has aster panai. This is the shulchan. The shulchan is Purim. The shulchan is Purim with the shnei bazichin, Mordechai v'Esther. The two, this is Purim. And what does the menorah do? Even in the darkest of times, the onochi aster panai b'yoyim ahu, Yoiru Shivas Haneros. Look closely. Look deep, deep down inside. You will see. You will see the Yad Hashem. You will see Hashem is there. Imoy Anoichi Bitzara. The Shivas Haneros, which is the Eidos. What's the Neros? The Ner Maravi Eidos Shehashchina Shoyne B'Yisrael is casting its illumination on the Lechem Aponim. Purim, Hashem is there. On your tefillin, which represent the Anochi Astir Panai, you have the menorah. Eidu Shehashchina Shoyne B'Yisrael, illuminating the darkness of the Anochi Astir Panai, Hashem is there. Hashem is with us. He is with us. Imoy Anochi B'Tzara. This is the perfect parasha to bring us into Purim. To recognize in the Olam HaTeva, in the world that we live in, Hashem is really behind the scenes. You need the menorah to cast its light, l'fil Rashbam, with the 7 neros, to illuminate the lechem upon him, to be megale to us, Eidos shehashchina shoyra b'Yisrael. Okay, let's go to another idea. We discussed this week, Parsha Zohar, that we repeat the word Zecher twice. Zecher and Zecher. Timche es Zecher Amalek. Timche es Zecher Amalek. And we ask the question, there are many words in the Torah that we don't really know the correct pronunciation, the correct vowels. There are many. If you go want to dig down deep, you can probably find at least 25. I'm very confident you can find 25 words just like Zecher and Zecher. And yet, no one says, but all of a sudden when it comes to Parsha Zohar, whew, boy, do we go to town. Why? Why do we go to town? If it doesn't make a difference in meaning, there is absolutely no reason why we should repeat the pasuk twice, repeat the expression twice, the word. This is what we discussed this week. So the answer is that they don't have the same meaning. They have a different meaning. The word Zecher is not the same thing as Zecher. It has a different meaning, a different message, and therefore, if it changes the meaning, you have no choice but to say them both. and we explain what indeed is the difference between Zecher and Zecher. The difference is, Zecher means the remembrance of something. There's remembrance. Ah, there's something, an event happened a long time ago, it happened there, a memorial. You shouldn't forget what happened. It's not, it's the remembrance of. Zecher, with a segol, means the essence. Zecheraf. It's some way we excited. I don't remember all the examples. The different examples. Zecher means, doesn't just mean the remembrance. It's much more powerful than remembrance. It means the essence of, the existence of. I'm not sure I have really a good word. I'm trying to think of a good word. The best thing I come was the essence. Zecherav tuvcha yabi. If the gears is a good example to illustrate the difference, is to look in some of the sidurim. I think the article has both. Nusachachem. We have the same question when it comes in Ashrei. Zay. Is it Zecher Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu? I will express a Zecher. If that's the way you pronounce it, you have to put a comma after the word Zecher. Zecher, comma. The remembrance of, now we proceed, Rav Tuvcha. The abundance of your goodness, Yabiyu, we will express. But if the pronunciation is Zecher, then you put the comma after Rav. Zecherav, comma. The essence of abundance, of Tuvcha, of your goodness, Yabiyu, we will express. So it's Rav. We're not, the word Zecher is not a remembrance. The word Zecher is modifying the word Rav. We're going to focus on the abundance. The abundance of your goodness we're going to express. Not the remembrance. No remembrance. Not going to we're going to reflect. No, that's a given. It's the essence of the abundance. It's not just Hashem, you do so many good things for us. The essence of this abundance is what we have to, the roots of the abundance. The essence of the abundance is what we have to express before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of your goodness. It's a different meaning. Oh, different meaning. Ah, so then you have no choice. Hashem says, Timcha es Zecher Amolek, Timcha es Zecher Amolek. Mitzadech, and you have to really think about it because it has to be a nafkamina between the two. Each one is required. There's the remembrance of what they did long ago, what they do today. It's not, you don't have to get involved. They did something. Okay, they're over there, we're over here. Don't forget about it. Don't forget about it. And then there's another dimension. Zecher, Timcha es Zecher, get rid of them. Don't just get rid of what they, the remembrance of what they did. Amalek is lurking within us. The Zecher Amalek, get rid of the essence of Amalek. The roots of Amalek, those Sharashim, the poison of Amalek, it's out there. Get rid of it. If you don't get rid of the essence of Amalek, you're in a lot of trouble. It's a whole new ballgame. It's a whole new world. I want to show you that this, really, these two ideas are hinted in this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, we learn about something very strange, we learn about repetition. There's something that's difficult. They have the stones on the ephod and on the choshen. In the choshen, there are 12 stones. On the ephod, there are 2 stones. What do they have in common? They have the 12 Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. On the Eifel, there are 2 stones, and in the 2 stones are etched in the names of Klal Yisrael. On the Choshen, there are 12 stones, and they have the Shiftei Kah. And Aaron, when he puts on the Choshen, he puts on the Eifel, he ties on the top, they have the 2 stones on the shoulder straps, and then the Eifel is connected to the Choshen with the chains and the loops and the Tcheles. Why do you have to have 2 sets of stones as a Zikoroin for Klal Yisrael? Why 2 stones? So the answer is, one set of stones goes on the shoulders, and one set of stones goes on the heart. What is the significance of the shoulders? The shoulders carry burdens. A heart, what you carry on your heart, is not a burden. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's an honor. It's a badge of distinction to put on your heart, so that you cherish. Klal Yisrael sometimes, we always use the expression, is not with the program. Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, everyone has ups and downs in life. Sometimes Klal Yisrael is just, we are in need of improvement. So does that mean that Hashem should forget about us? Chas v'shalom. Aaron, he carries on his shoulders Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, you know, you're heavy. You're a burden. You're a burden. You have issues. You have problems. But just because you have problems doesn't mean I'm going to throw you out of the house. I'm going to abandon you. I'm not going to send you your kol check. Okay, just because you're a burden upon me, you're a burden, I'll carry the burden. And then there are times when Klal Yisrael gives Hashem nachas ruach. Not a burden. It's an honor. I carry your remembrance in my heart. On the cheshen, on the heart. Look at how the pasuk says, by both of these items, it says that they serve as the remembrance for Klal Yisrael. It's very interesting in the way that the difference of expression between the burden element of Klal Yisrael and the heart, the remembrance that goes upon the heart. So here in our parasha, the samta, it's in Perek, those are v'chomesh, b'chav ches, pasuk yud beis, the samta, shtei ho'avonim al kisvo yisrael, avnei zikoroin livnei Yisrael. Now here's the part we need, v'nosa aharoin, Aaron will carry, es shimoisam. Lifnei Hashem al shtei chiseifav on his two shoulders lezikaroin shimoisam their names. He's distancing. It's almost as if he's distancing himself from them. He will carry upon his shoulders the names of the Jewish people. Rashi says sheyehe roya Hashem should look on the stones. He should see the names of Klal the roya es hashvatim. Kisuvim lufam. Oh, it's in the book. Look at that. It's in the book. It's there. It's a remembrance. A remembrance of something. Oh, they did good deeds. Royal v'yizkar Hashem should remember tzidkasam, their righteousness. It doesn't say that Hashem will remember them. Hashem remembers something about them. It's much more indirect. Hashem doesn't want to remember us mamish, because it's not good. Because if Hashem's going to remember us mamish, the fact that we're sitting on his shoulders, it's not a good sign. If the names of Klal Yisrael are resting upon someone's shoulders, it means we're a burden. Why are we a burden? Because there's room for improvement. But we're still good. There's still potential. We have a good history. We've done good things. We have tzidkasam and achanami. It's kedai to remember. Now go down to the chayishim. Chayishim is very different. It says in the Choshen, V'nosa, I'm jumping ahead, the Perek Chavches, Pasuk Chavches, V'nosa Aharon, Eshmos B'nei Yisrael, V'choshen HaMishpat Alibo, he will carry, doesn't say Shimoisam, their names. There's no there. He carries the Shemois. He carries the essence of Klal Yisrael. The name is your identity. Does V'nos Aharon Eshmoisam. It's a much richer expression. Shemois b'nei Yisrael. B'choshen aliboy. It's a pleasure. B'v'oylef el ha-kodesh. L'zikoroin. Lifnei Hashem. And here it says, tamid. It doesn't say the word tamid. What's the difference? Why there does not say tamid? And here it says tamid. Because we're not always a burden. There are good times also. We're not always a burden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we're good. When we're good, we're not a burden. So it doesn't have to be tamid. Only when we're not so good, when we got problems, then we need Hashem to remember us. But when we're on the lathe, the good elements, when we focus directly, this is Shemois B'nei Yisrael. So my drush is, both of these serve as a zikoroin. They're both here to serve as a zikaron. It says with zikaron li zikaron here by the chayshen and by the shoulders. It says also on the eighth of the shoulders, the kesefos. It says avnei. It says li zikaron, but it's not the same zikaron. One is a zecher, and one is a zecher. The chayshen. When he carries the names of Klal Yisrael, it's a zecher for Klal Yisrael. It's the essence of who we are. When you carry Klal Yisrael on the shoulders, zecher tzadik levracha. We had good days. We had good days in the past. Now we have problems. Zecher! No! It's a zecher. It's also worth something. It's also worth something. You have zuchus avos. Maybe today it's not so. It's also worth something. But it's not a zecher. The essence is not what it should be. The essence needs improvement. It needs improvement. There's a zecher and there's a zecher in the parasha itself. In the way where we are remembered for our Kadosh Baruch Hu on the shoulder verse of Choshen. The male, it's not a kasha. When you learn parasha zecher, is it the zecher amalek? Is it the zecher amalek? It's both. Each one has a unique element. Okay, you have to think about it, how each one is unique. Each one are necessary. If you only had zecher, just because you get rid of the essence of amalek, think about it. If you get rid of the essence of amalek, it's not enough. Because we may be able to eradicate the poison, but we don't want there to be a footnote in history that there was an amalek. You have to get rid of the footnote in history. But if you get rid of the footnote in history and the poison is buried somewhere on the other end of the world, it's going to come back. You got to get rid of the poison, the zecher amalek, and you got to get rid of the footnote of history that there ever was an amalek. No one should come and try to recreate it, should know about it. You have to get rid of the zecher and the zecher. Zeh l'uma zeh parallels that how we are remembered before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La Yehudim hoysa oira v'simcha v'sasan v'ikar kein tihi elanu. Thank you.